My dear family, we have had several months to get to know one another here on the mountain, and each is such a precious gift to us all. I look back on my life when I was an only child and chose a loner type of career as a nature photographer. I spent most of my life alone, except when I was married and had children. They say that an only child can be self-centered, and I would have to agree. But the Lord has changed my perspective, first with four children and a husband, and then with a mission and a community. While each one here is unique and highly valued, there's a certain cohesiveness or togetherness, a sense of purpose that we are all called to share. When someone has been a loner most of their lives or prefers to be an independent spirit, the requirements of community life that are centered around ministry can be a real challenge to their own personal needs and desires. That is why it is wise to understand ahead of time what the Lord's mission for the channel is. The question has to be asked, do I want to yield all my preferences for the Lord's agenda here in the community? And there's no condemnation if the answer is no, because you may find your mission in another work, and trying to fit a square peg into a round hole just doesn't work. This is a very good time to review our real personal needs before the winter sets in and ask ourselves, is this what I want? Am I happy here? Or is it a daily challenge that just doesn't feel right to me? I want you all to understand this is a very particular mission, and every person on board should have a vital purpose. We cannot wrap our agenda around those who don't want to contribute in the area we need them to contribute. This is a team effort, and each person needs to pull their weight and contribute according to the mission's needs, not according to personal needs. As often as happens in a community, the most responsible people who are suited to the administrative needs of the mission also tend to be helpers who jump in when anyone else is not available. That is damaging our efficiency and ability to reach souls, beloved ones. Our lives are given over to save souls. There is no time for us to go off on our own trips and neglect the necessities of others in the community. But Lord, I would really rather that you speak about this, please. Jesus began, time is short, time is critical, and each of you have areas that call to you that you would rather do than other things that you would rather not do. But when you come to serve me, I need you to abandon your own preferences cheerfully, willingly, without grumbling, to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Many of you have done just that, but some of you are still hanging on to your personal agendas, and that is damaging others who were saddled with the work you could have done. I never said it would be easy to follow me. It wasn't easy for my mother and Joseph. In fact, it was unusually difficult since Satan was behind every bush looking for an occasion to take me out. That means that even in Egypt, I was not free from his assaults. Time after time, Joseph and Mary suffered from circumstances arranged against them. There were many near misses, times when I could have been killed. My Father in heaven and the angels assigned kept us safe, but not without a lot of wear and tear. And all of that just to bring me to my 30th year so I could begin ministry, only to be crucified 3 years later. What I am saying, dear ones, is that we who are working for the salvation of souls cannot allow ourselves to be dragged off into civilian affairs. We need to be supportive of those who are the boots on the ground. One who is skilled with rockets should not be in the kitchen flipping pancakes. One who is skilled with construction should be busy making furniture, not baking cornbread. One who provides strategies should not be cleaning floors while others are depending on their instructions and prayers and waiting for them. Yet there are times when your jobs will overlap. There are times when you are called to be flexible because you are in a war. You never know the next move of the enemy until I tell you. That means that your cherished plans that seem to be so right for you and so planned out so well, and the work that's set before you, may be tossed out in order to change gears and handle a situation that is more pressing. Will you be flexible or will you complain and gripe? Will you accommodate yourself to the new plans or will you buck them and find fault? Do you see? This is what the enemy wants. In fact, when they want to make trouble, they deprive you of sleep. That inevitably causes you to become more irritated over the little things and complaining about changes you did not expect. Wow, forgive me, Lord, I can be that way. He continued, I am not saying that one individual should make up his mind and he doesn't want to follow the plans laid out because he doesn't want to. That's ridiculous. When you make plans that involve other people, it is best to stick with them unless something comes up that is more important. Let me tell you what assignments have been put on you recently. Exhaustion, confusion, rejection, sleeplessness, gluttony, spiritual sloth, division, laziness, irritation, judgment, and a host of others. You are all familiar with these tactics and have been trained not to give in to them. But when you are tired or sick, you forget your safeguards. And in the past weeks, you have fallen into many of these. You have come to me to work them out. And for that, I am so grateful. But I want you to be more on your guard because these things, these attitudes of not wanting to do what is asked of you has hurt others and affected my ministry through this channel. You have been asked to listen to the messages by Mother Claire, but some of you haven't bothered yourself to do so. As a result, you have fallen into sin and been less effective as my servants. This attitude is very destructive in the community. I tell you in advance much of what the enemy plans against you. But if you don't bother to listen, you remain ignorant and fall. Each of you are very precious to me, but some of you have not made up your mind to die to yourself. And I don't fault you for that, because I know how hard it is for you. But I am asking you to make a decision about how yielded you are going to be to my agenda. How helpful will you be when someone is needed in the kitchen and you don't feel like helping? Are you willing to drop what you're doing to get wood and water for someone in need? Are you willing to give your day to minister when you plan to spend it in prayer? Are you willing to fill in for a sick brother or sister and do their work as well as yours? I have to call the question, are you mine or are you yours? And a less demanding question, are you willing to give up your preferences for mine? I am looking at the community and seeing that there are a few situations that are weighing others down with work they should not have to be responsible for. And this is happening simply because others don't feel like pitching in, or it's an inconvenience to their agenda. That is not the disposition you must have to live in a community. Instead, you should be ready to give up anything you are planning in order to make things run smoothly so I can continue to minister. You are my backup team. You make it possible for ministry to happen, and I'm counting on you. But if you feel that you're not called to that level of sacrifice, it's okay. I am with you, and we will work together in another way that is more suitable for you. But please be honest and make a decision based on your past weeks of experiences while living here. I always have something more for you to do. Just because you don't fit in here does not mean you're useless. We will do other things together that are more appropriate for you. You are still very precious to me. I love you all, and I am calling you to a higher degree of flexibility, willingness, detachment, and commitment to my agenda, even when it ruins your plans. I am asking you to be gracious and lay down with it. Please don't fuss and fume and spread toxins in the community that is busy trying to meet the needs of souls doing their appointed tasks. That is so debilitating and a real game stopper. It hurts those you unload on when you should have come to me and worked it out without getting them involved and damaging their work. Realize that Satan knows your buttons, fatigue, exhaustion, overwork, jealousy, rejection, confusion, unresponsiveness from others when you have needs. He has marked these things down and given assignments to his demons of division so that you will drive a wedge in the work and stop it. And more importantly, he wants to build up a wall of resentment and judgment between you and others. Please, 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 my people and my servants, my vessels unto honor, my brides, you must be smarter than this diabolical dark angel. You must be above his tactics to stop my work. And there is one final thing I would like to call your attention to. I want you to understand that there are times when all of you feel overloaded or have interiorized your work because it takes so much concentration. I want you to communicate this when it happens, because your first response in situations like that is to brush off any intruders or additional jobs. But I want you to be transparent and simply say, "It's not you. I'm stuck right now in a very demanding situation. I'm trying to work it out, so I'm not very good company. Please don't be offended. I'm not rejecting you, and I'm not ignoring you. I'm just in the weeds, so to speak." Now, if you will make that clear to one another, Satan will not whisper lies to them, saying, "They don't care about your problems. See, they just use you. When they want something, you do it for them. But they really don't care to help you when you need it." Rejection is one of the worst dynamics in humankind, one of the most damaging. It goes very, very deep. What I would say is that I am in the midst of something that has demanded all my attention, but I will help you when I get free. In this way, you tell the person you care, but you cannot do anything about it yet, but you will. And finally, my chosen ones, this community is hated by Satan and his servants that live nearby. They are planning many dynamics to bring you all down and break up this community. But I tell you this, if brotherly love, patience, and kindness are maintained, he will fail miserably. If he cannot get you to judge and resent another, if he cannot get you to swallow bitter seeds, He hasn't a chance, and you will overcome every one of his ploys. So hang in there, my beloved ones. You're beautiful to behold in your brotherly love. You have grown tremendously, and you are bringing forth fruit you were not even aware of. Even some of the enemies are wondering why they can't cause fighting here. What is it about you that is different? Simply, what is different is that you love me with all your heart and mind and strength, and love your brother as yourself. This is the formula to success, and because of that, the enemy will deliberately attack each of these dynamics, because he wants to bring division and dissolution. This is why you must listen to the messages each day if you want to remain here. Because if you do not pay heed to what I am teaching you, you will end up leaving. I love you tenderly. I am at your right hand, constantly advising you and helping you to respond in grace. And much grace has been given you. Continue to ask for it and handle it with wisdom and gratitude.